Downloads of the show are available at Podomatic.com or the Podomatic mobile app. Hey kids, you are listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, and this show is Fish Out of Agua with Michelle Carlo. Today is Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018. Yeah, it's supposedly spring, but boy, what a winter it's been. Snow every week for the past month. Marches going on, people dying everywhere, presidents going crazy, people lying to us everywhere. It kind of feels like that sometimes, right? That you don't know what the truth is anymore. Well, that's why I picked this song by the Eurythmics, one of my favorites, because, you know, Annie Lennox sure isn't lying. And we're back with Fish Out of Agua on Radio Free Brooklyn. That was Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics with Would I Lie to You from the album Be Yourself Tonight back in 1985. And it's on a lot of compilation albums. It's all over the place. I love that song. And it's such a pertinent question now because I think we're all feeling like everyone is lying to us all the time. The president lies, Facebook lies, the weatherman lies. It's lies, lies, lies. Oh, I should have played the Culture Club. Lies, 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 yeah. No, not that's not Culture Club.
That's the Thompson Twins.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you. Huh. things you think of after the fact. But what I am going to play next is a song by Maroon 5 called What Lovers Do that was picked by our guest artist this week to open his episode.
Say now, baby. Oh, my mind on play now, baby. Say now, baby. So let's go on things straight now, baby. Tell me if you love me or not. Love me or not, love me or not. At the house on you, am I lucky or not? Lucky or not, lucky or not. You gotta tell me if you love me or not. Love me or not, love me or not. I'm wishing for you, am I lucky or not, lucky or not, lucky or not?
Forever, baby, both of us should know better.
Ooh, 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 been wishing for you. Ooh, ooh, try to do what lovers do.
And we're back with Fish Out of Agua on Radio Free Brooklyn. Wow, that song kind of makes me feel a little bit better. Actually, a lot better. That's Maroon 5, once again, featuring Solana Imani Rowe, otherwise known as SZA, with What Lovers Do from the Red Pill Blues album in 2017. And I am so excited for our guest artist this week that I'm just going to skip any chitter-chatter and pitter-patter and get right to it. So now, guess what, kids? It's time for my favorite part of the show. Whoa, whoa. Everybody, welcome to Fish Out of Agua's Guest Artist of the Week. Woohoo! Every week I bring you a whole new person, either from my storytelling days or my theater days, who I met from writing. And today we're breaking format a little bit. No, I don't have another visual artist. No, it's not a burlesque person. No, it's not a musician. We've already had those. No, I have a radio personality that with whom we're going to speak today. And He has a show that, full of disclosure, I was a guest on about a month ago. The show is called Chirp About It, and we're going to be chirping about a lot of different stuff today. So please welcome the fish out of agua, Patrick Sainville.
Hello, Michelle.
Hi, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. Lovely to be here. I'm excited, in fact.
I'm excited, too, because I'm kind
of... Some intro.
I'm kind of brave guy. I always like the gift. I always like the fluff. You know, it's the fluff.
I love it.
So I always ask this of every person when we come on the show. One of the things I ask is, how did we meet?
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, we basically just met. I mean,
yes.
I've had some people on the show that I've known for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. I have people that I've known for, you know, a couple of years, of years. But, like, no, basically it's probably like a month today
about
or something.
Six weeks to be
Yeah,
exact.
Yeah.
Six
yeah.
weeks, yes, yes.
So
yes.
Let's tell everybody how we met.
All right. Well, I met you through a friend.
Yes.
One of my co-hosts, in fact, Miss Marlene Villafane.
Yes, Marlene.
Who,
I love Marlene.
Who just joined the show, my show, Chirp About It Live, about 3 months ago. And she suggested that I reach out to you to have on the shows, and you were magnificent.
Oh, thank you.
And,
I'm not like holding a lightning bolt over his head.
No, you were great. And the special thing about it is that you were on the show when we were celebrating our 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
Chirp About It Live. So that was really a party.
I couldn't believe, like, every 2 minutes somebody else was walking in with another thing, another bottle of champagne. A cake, like...
A gong.
A gong. Yeah, like a Tibetan Buddhist gong. Other random objects.
Yes.
And the, are we allowed to talk about the studio where...
Absolutely.
The other activities that go on in the studio?
Yes. Well, why don't you mention it?
Okay, well, the name of Patrick's show is called Chirp About It, and it records in a downtown loft building, and it shares the space with... a play party club, for want
yeah.
of a better word.
Yeah. That makes any sense.
Yeah, a play, you know, that's like they had the crossbars on the wall. They were different bondage instruments,
you know,
lying around.
Not to cut you off, to last week's guest, I invited her. I had a doctor on. And
A medical doctor.
She arrived before I did. So she was in a separate room. And she looked at me and she said, "Do you realize what kind of place this is?" I said, "No, I'm not sure. I just go right into the studio. I don't know what's happening behind this." "You don't know? You mean to tell me you don't know what kind of place this
no,
is?"
"No, you've walked."
"I know." I said, "Oh, well, why don't you tell me after the show?" And we walked into the station. Well, we really never discussed it, though.
Wait, but you know what...
I know, of course.
Of course
I know
you
what it is. I just didn't want to, you know, get into it. You know, I had a show to do, so...
That's funny. That's right. It could have been derailed greatly.
Of course,
especially
of course.
Since, like, if she knew that you knew,
exactly.
She might have, like, ran out of there screaming.
Who knows, exactly.
Who knows, you know.
But it was funny
a lot of civilians
just
in this world.
Just to watch her process the entire thing.
Oh, my God. So, you do radio, and
correct.
You also are a businessman.
I am, yes. Business is what I know by nature. I was first started on Wall Street as a very young person. In fact, I was 17 when I started on Wall Street.
Really?
Dropped out of school, yeah. After 9 years, went into the necktie business. Did that for quite some time.
Well, that's a big switch.
Yeah. And eventually sold the company to an Italian firm. So that went very well. And then I went into some advertising. And now I'm doing staffing. I own a staffing company. It's a full-service staffing agency.
Oh.
It's, you know, warehouses.
Interesting.
And so on. Yeah, very interesting.
You are my first business human.
Really?
You are the first person that's not a total artist. Well,
yeah.
No, you are an artist, but, you know, who's you know what I mean.
I that's know, of not, course,
yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
Right.
Well, I do write songs as well, if you want to.
Oh, then we are going to talk about that. So let's talk about your origins.
First born in Miami. My family is from Haiti.
Uh-huh.
But yes, I was raised in New York since the age of 10, at the age of 10.
Oh, okay.
Now in my 40s, so in Brooklyn.
Wow. What neighborhood?
Flatbush, Brooklyn, okay. Midwood section. So
born in Miami.
Born in Miami,
wow.
Yes, Dade County.
Was your family an artistic type of family? Where did you get the bug to, like, do music or to even become a radio DJ and interviewer
you
from?
You know, it's very interesting. No one in my family is really... We're all mainly into business. You know, my mom... I never knew my dad So my mom and my uncles, who are the ones who really raised me.
Are you first generation?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
We know what the first generation is like.
Yeah, yeah. So the
ones,
you know,
got to make money. Don't do anything stupid.
Exactly. Well, I was always a risk taker, but a very cautious risk taker, if that makes any sense. I've always had a straight head on my shoulders. So my family never really worried about me. They really never worried about my outcome in life. Throughout my entire life, I never got into trouble. As a young boy, as a young kid, I was always just, you know, I was doing something, creating something.
Huh? So you were a child artist.
Yeah, yeah, I've always been. In fact, I actually, now I remember, I won an award from Mayor Koch at one point when I used to draw in elementary school.
Really?
Yeah, now I recall.
Was that like the Lever House thing?
Yes.
I won that once,
yeah,
too.
I had an it was yes. an octopus. Yeah,
there was a competition in the 70s and 80s for art kids in the, I guess, grammar school and junior high school, and maybe high schools too.
I was in grammar school.
Yeah,
at the time.
And but I think. And I think it was like from grammar school through high school.
Yeah.
But I remember, I don't remember the name of the competition. Google it. But the ones that were selected were displayed at this place in Midtown called Lever House.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about
and
that
I actually
in years.
They gave me a savings bond or something like that.
Yes.
I don't remember.
A savings bond. A $50 savings bond.
Yeah. Who knows what happened to that?
Oh, my God.
Anyway,
I know what happened
to
mine. I cashed it in as soon as I was able.
Did
and I probably
you?
Spent it on weed.
I don't recall what happened. You spent it on weed.
I probably did. At that age, I'm sure I did.
I love it.
Yeah, you know. Well, I'm not a business person. So did you have like a traditional like academic trajectory with your education when you were young? Did you go to like a regular grammar school?
Yeah, regular grammar school.
High school.
High school. Went to a good high school, Midwood High School in Brooklyn. Started out at Brooklyn College. And then a year after I left, I dropped out. And that's when I started on Wall Street.
Well, how did you start on Wall Street? Did you just like, just walked in and got a job?
Well, okay. What happened was... I'm so ambitious and I always like nice things and I used to dress up.
And you were 17.
Before that, yeah. But then I had a friend of mine, still a friend, Richie, who had a friend who was on Wall Street, an executive on Wall Street. And he said, you know what? You do very well on Wall Street, kid. And he set it up. He set up an appointment. I went up to see his friend. His friend gave me a shot. And then I left. I quit after 2 weeks because there was so much pressure on Wall Street.
What were you doing? Were you 17?
17 at the time when I started, yes. So I left after 2 weeks.
Wow.
There was a lot of pressure. I wasn't used to that.
But
you know.
I can't, that just seems like they would hire a 17-year-old kid to do cold calls?
Cold calls. Yeah. They just hand me a stack of leads.
Is this No, I know what that is, but like is that usual practice to just hire people that young?
I guess so. They did. It happened for me. Yes, it happened with me.
Maybe I need to go back and watch the movie Wall Street again.
Wow. Yeah, but I was frightened at the beginning, you know. So
yeah,
I left,
who wouldn't
you know,
be?
I saw these guys. One guy, he went out for lunch and came back with a $20,000 watch, just for lunch. You know, it scared me. You know, working 12 hours and you know.
But what
up.
Was the scary part? Was the scary
well,
part?
I wasn't used to that.
That you thought that you couldn't do it, or you thought that you could do it?
It wasn't. Something that I was used to, the 12-hour days, the standing up all day long.
You need a lot of stamina.
Yes, you know. But then a month later, I went into another firm. I thought about it. You know, I thought about it. I said, no, this is where I need to be. Things happen for a reason as well. Maybe that very first firm, for some reason, you know, I still don't know those guys. The firm I started out with, Rowan Capital, I'm still friends with these guys close to 20 years now. And we're still like family, so it's amazing.
It's always great that when you have people that you know from years and years and you have like that depth of relationship.
Yeah.
But one thing that I'm amazed at is that a person in their late teens was going through the New York Times. How were you who introduced you to that? How did you know that that's where you looked for a Wall Street job? Were you introduced to the New York Times at home? Did your mom read it? Did anyone in your family read it?
No, I don't believe anyone at home read. You know, English was not so wasn't so great at the time. I guess through friends, you know, I don't know. I just had it.
No, the only reason why I bring that up is because, you know, I also am first generation from a Caribbean background. My family's from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And I did not see New York Times, I don't think, until I was at the School of Visual Arts.
Yeah.
You know, people that I knew read the Daily News, mm-hmm. the Post, and sometimes Newsday.
Yeah. Yeah, well...
And then they had opinions about all three.
All three. Yeah, yeah. I was always that type of a child. Big thinking and, you know, ambitious, so...
Wow, like a prodigy or something.
Yeah.
So, how does a child that's creative and likes to make things mm-hmm. and a young man who's a go-getter who just takes on business and just, like, turns it around to his advantage,
yeah.
what made you decide to turn to radio for your creative outlet? Was there some kind of need in your life that wasn't being met that mm-hmm. the radio did? Did you feel like, I have all this with business and I'm successful, but there's a lack and I need another outlet? What was that about
for you? Well, what happened, about 2.5 years ago, I started a website. You know, I'm interested in what people want to say and have to say.
Mm.
You know, so I wanted to create a voice for just people, just New Yorkers, because, you know, at times I have my own thoughts and opinions that I just can't tap the guy next to me on the subway and just talk to him. So I needed an outlet. I wanted to create an outlet for myself and for other New Yorkers. So
to
I created,
express themselves.
So whether it's venting, whether it's whatever it is. So I created a website called chirpaboutit.com.
And what's the origin of the name Chirp About It?
Well, it's just, you know, chirp your New York moments, thoughts or opinions or ideas or
observations.
Oh, like tweet.
It's like tweeting. A take-up on tweeting.
That's,
got it.
That's basically what it is. But it's just, you know, again, sharing it. Just sharing it. Just chirp about it. Thought comes to mind, chirp about it. I want to hear about it. So that was the goal of the website. Not to really make money at it, but just to really promote it, just to become a second voice or a new voice for New York.
So it was an outlet for another part of your expression.
Correct, correct. Both myself, my children, and friends and family and whomever.
So when you went on what did you find on the website?
It just allows you, very similar to Twitter. You just go on and just chirp your moments, and I'd read the comments.
Oh, wow. So you would get a lot of hits, and people would actually leave content on there?
That's correct.
How did you promote it and get people to get to your website? How did you drive traffic? There you go.
Well, through business social media. I started with social media. I hired a person to begin to drive traffic. I mean, it was very brand new. Mm. So.
And this is 2 years ago?
Two and a half years ago. So a year and a half ago... my friend Tony, we call him Tony Computer. He's a techie.
Tony
I'm not
Computer.
A techie. You know, I'm from Wall Street.
Tony
I'm from,
Computer.
I'm a fashion guy.
That's that like the Frankie Fingers from the 1970s, Tony Computer.
So I said to Tony, I had a discussion with Tony. I said, this is what I'm looking to do. And he thought I was crazy. He says, what are you talking about? Stick to what you know best, Pat. You know fashion. You know this. What are you doing about creating the social media? You know nothing about social media. They'll crush you. This is what Tony said to me. So I kept at it. And one Halloween, we hang out at this place called Raoul's in Soho. So I walked in with my buddy and I, Joe, we walked into Raoul's with cameras. And we pushed the door open, and everyone just saw this flashing light. And everyone's like, who is that? And it's Pat and Joe with the cameras, ready to interview people. Because I walked in to ask people to chirp about their evening at Raoul's. So only then Tony says, wow, you're not playing, huh? You're serious about this chirp about it thing. I said, yes, I am. So he said, I'll tell you what. I have a friend. His name is Johnny. He owns a small station, City World Radio. I'm going to hook you up with an interview. To come on the show as a guest. I said, all right, would you do that? He says, I would. Let's do it. So I went on to Johnny's show on a Monday. My very first time doing radio, by the way.
What was the name of his show, Johnny's show?
Johnny Mandolin.
Johnny Mandolin
show, yep, on the Chirp About on City World Radio network.
And that's the network that you're on?
That's the network I am on.
And they are an internet radio station
correct.
Also?
Yes. He actually owns the station. So I went in. I was interviewed by Johnny for an hour. I stuttered. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, Tony's like giving me these pointers silently. So obviously, the kid didn't know what he was doing at all.
Myself.
I didn't know what I was
doing.
Well,
what were you doing? Were you a guest or were you supposed to be
guest.
Running?
I was a guest.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a guest. But I was stuttering, you know, and I couldn't keep my lips to the mic, towards the mic. I kept, like, moving my head around, and Tony's like, no, stay still, and so on. He's just giving me these pointers that, you know, for radio pointers. What did I know?
If you had not been on a radio show
before,
how would you know?
How would I know? Here's the kicker, though. Right after that show, not 5 minutes passed, I said to Johnny, how do I start my own show? And Tony, they both look at me like, whoa, what are you talking about?
So what was it about the experience that lit a fire under you or made the light bulb go off on your head?
Well, I said, wow, this is what's missing for Chirp about it. Right away. And it's amazing because I never, never, ever thought about doing radio.
Is it the immediacy of the radio that was the allure for you? Well, was it the interaction with guests? What was it?
I don't know what it was. It was just the answer for what I was doing.
Mm.
It was the answer on top of my website where asking people to chirp about it. I figured, you know what? If I start a show, it would be much easier for people to chirp about it. I can read the comments. I can have people call in. I can call people to chirp about it. So it just completed my idea.
Wow.
And seriously, right after the show, not a day went by, I just said, Johnny, how do I start my own show?
And when did the first Chirp About It air?
2 weeks after.
2 weeks
January,
after? 2017.
Yeah.
That's right, 2017.
Yeah, so I went in for the interview with Johnny December 2016, and exactly 2 weeks later, I started my own show.
And how does that work on City Radio? You just come in and you record it live every week, and then
that's it.
Do you archive the episodes
we
afterwards?
Do. Yes, yes.
Where can they be found?
CityWorldRadio.com.
Oh, okay.
You can also find it on ChirpAboutIt.com as well. You can click on, go on the menu, and you click on Chirp Radio. Every show that I've had so far, you can find on my website.
Who was your first guest?
Well, my very first guest is a very good friend of mine. Dr. Steve Gettinger. So I said, you know what, Steve? I'm starting out the show, and I may be a little nervous, so I know Steve very well. So I figured, you know what? Steve is a professional. It's a good way to start out, my show. So Steve, he agreed. He came on to the show, and it was a success. And Johnny was listening, and after 12 minutes, he called in, and he was so happy. He says, Pat, I got to tell you, I was really concerned about you. I was really concerned because I didn't know what the hell you were looking to do. But now I understand. And this was the very first show. And ever since, it's been, we made it a year.
You've been following the same format, basically? Have, like, one guest that you'll talk about at length. Did you have your co-conspirators at that time, or was the first show just you?
I had myself and two buddies.
So you had two buddies that you would banter with.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
And how were you able to have the chirps come in? Did you have people calling them? Did you have people writing them to you?
At the beginning, they were chirped through my website. So I would go on myself. I would produce a show myself. So, at my office during the day, I would just go through my website and read the comments and just write them down on a piece of paper
and take them into
the studio.
Okay.
And then we would go around the panel reading the comments from New Yorkers.
So I want people to understand what the chirps are, because I think it's a little unclear. A chirp mm-hmm. is kind of like a tweet.
Correct.
Only it's not on one social media website. It's just either a comment or a lament.
Correct.
Or a complaint or an observation.
Correct.
About anything? Do they have themes or is it specifically only about New York City?
Mainly about New York City. That's the theme. It's New York City.
Okay.
I think there's a lot to share. There's a lot happening within this city. And I think through the chirps, people also learn. I've learned a lot about the city through the comments, through the chirps.
So if you were going to, let's say you were going to ask people listening to this show to contribute to yours, how would you explain that to them?
Well, share a New York moment. We all have New York. It's like share a New York minute. We all have a New York minute. We have a New York story, a New York observation. There's always something happening. Pizza Rat, smelly cab drivers, confessions, lousy dates, rainbow bagels, whatever it is. Please, just pull out your device and just chirp your New York moments.
And how many chirps would you say that you get every day on your website?
I'd say at least between 60 to 100.
Really?
Yeah, the subscribers.
Wow.
The subscribers are amazing now. I mean, every time I open my email.
And I never heard about this until I went on your show. Isn't it amazing? The thing that I love, not just about New York, because there's creative meccas all over the world. But the thing that I love is that there are so many little outposts
of creativity
going on that you don't even know about. Because most of the time, I think human beings have tunnel vision.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, you stay in your little circle.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have my little storytelling writer people, the people, whatever, and This is...
No, you're right. Totally me as well. I actually stay in my little realm. I don't really, you know, sometimes outside of, other than business, step out. You know?
So trip about is your way to step out.
Correct.
So when did you realize that creative part was being sublimated, or that you needed to let it out, or that you needed to have an outlet for it? What was there a tipping point for that? At a certain age, or did it just fall onto you and you said, oh yeah, that's it, I'm going to do this now?
Yeah, well, you know, again, for me, I'm always curious as to what the other man or the other female is thinking, you know, that's next to me. Because, you know, in New York, you just never know who you're next to. You never know your neighbors. You really don't. You know, so I just thought this is a way to kind of get to know my fellow New Yorkers and you know, in the smallest way that I possibly can. So, you know, it's informative, you know. Train delays. I learned a lot about train delays.
I bet you get a bunch of people complaining about
the
subway.
You know, so
people will leave their comment and then they'll say their name or pseudonym and like the neighborhood that they're
correct.
From.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It'll be like, don't take the R train because it's the Rat and Roach train today.
There you go.
Catherine from Canarsie. The R train runs in Canarsie, but you know.
Yeah, that's basically what
Catherine
it is.
From Cobble Hill. There
you
go.
We just learned that the L train shutting down 2019. I didn't know about that.
Oh yeah, no, that's been around for a long time.
About that.
So good. You know. See, something you didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. And you know,
but it makes me feel a lot better. The great equalizer, not knowing.
Oh my, but you know, it's just fun. There's another chirp that I read the other day where it said, she said, it's harder to find a roommate than a boyfriend in this city. For some reason, that just made me laugh.
And that was it. That's all she said.
Yeah.
So no context, no beginning or no end.
No.
Just like boom.
She just chirped it.
Where was she from?
I think she's from Brooklyn.
From Brooklyn.
Yeah. But again, it was just a thought that was in her mind. She thought it, and she had to let it out. She wanted to share it with people.
That's great.
You know, my vehicle is to allow you again to vent your frustrations, your happiness, your observations, your whatever.
That's
it
fantastic because it makes you feel connected. It makes you feel like, and somebody's listening because
that's
really
the way I like to describe it. We're listening.
Because like people want to feel like they matter.
Yes.
And that what they say goes into somebody's ears. Yeah. And that's important. How did you find that your show evolved over the past year?
Oh, well, certainly through the types of guests that I've had, my panel. I had a guest on, a good friend of mine, Jerry. He's a producer at Manhattan Night Neighborhood
Network.
Eminem. I can never pronounce
Where Maureen
right.
Yeah. has
well,
her show.
Maureen has her show.
How did you guys meet?
I met Maureen through Jerry.
Oh, okay.
You know, one night, I think it was back in August of 2017, I had a guest on by the name of Stuart Hirsch, comedian, very funny guy. I like him on the show. Stuart Hirsch, shout out to you. He was brought on by Jerry, my friend Jerry as well. So Stuart was on the show, and then right after the show, Jerry always wanted me to go up to visit the studio. This is MNN studio. So that night I was a little tired. He said, well, let's just go do it. So I went up, to make a long story short. I walked in, and the first person I saw, a lovely face, was a young lady, Maureen Villafane. You know, I saw cameras in front of her, and she was producing a show.
Yes, the name of her show was Are You a Star?
Are You a Star, right. So I said, okay, checking it out. And then, you know, I met Maureen, we shook hands. And then on the camera, there was this gentleman playing a guitar, you know. So I said, who is that? She said, oh, his name is Ian Bamberger. You know, he's been on the show a couple of times. So after Ian's performance, we went out. She introduced me to Ian Bamberger. So I invited Ian onto my show. He came on, I think, 2 weeks after. He played. It was a good interview. I liked the way he played his music, so I invited him back the following week. He came on. The following week, I had another band called The Die on, a music band. They were pretty good. So at the end of my show, since Ian was there with his guitar, so I said, well, why don't you guys collaborate? Can you do a chirp about a song, you know, like freestyle? And Ian said, yeah, let's do it. And Bruno, the lead singer of The Die, he was a little bit, like he felt he was on the spot. And Ian said, let's do it. So they did it, and it worked. It worked out very well. They created a chirp about a song. And to this day, we use that theme song. And right away, I said, you know what? I like this young man, Ian. Ian Bamberger.
Was he on the show when I was on?
He was on the
show. He was
the
guy that was playing the guitar that was sitting next to me.
He's been on the show ever since.
Wow. You know,
so now he's an in-house musician.
So you've made your little crew.
Yeah.
So Marlene and Ian and the blonde lady. I forgot her
Ellen
name.
Ellen Hunter. Yes.
She was amazing.
She is amazing. She was actually a guest on the show as well. I go by feelings, you know. It has to be good energy, you know, because I've had tons of guests, but... I never asked anyone to come back onto the show to help me, you know, with the show, build the show up.
So Ian Bamberger, Ellen Hunter, and Marlene Villafane have become like your little chirp family.
Yep.
So they're the core crew now.
They're the core crew, yes.
Wow.
And I'm so thrilled with them. Everyone has something to bring to the table.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a really fun experience seeing the banter and the interaction between you guys. How long has this crew been together, the four of you?
Right now, well, Ellen has been, she was the last to come on. Ellen has been on right now for about a month and a half.
Wow, that's not very long.
Not very long at all. Marlene has been on for about 3 months now.
Wow.
Ian for about 4.5.
Wow.
I also have Vera. She's in Florida. She calls in with her words of wisdom. She's more like a spiritual coach. So she calls in. Vera's been with me for close to a year now. Calling in, but I'm very thrilled with the team that I have now. And now I think I'm ready to kick it into second gear. Since it's been the first year, I have the right team, the right panel. Now we're gonna really step things
up. So what are you conceiving for going forward for the second season of Chirp About It?
Well, we're gonna do we're working on Chirp About It live TV. We're gonna do a live TV with a show with live audience.
Fantastic.
We also have Hot Chicks. We're starting out with next month, where Ellen will be dressed in a chicken outfit. And she'll go out and hit the streets to ask people to chirp about their New York moments, thoughts, and observations.
Fantastic.
On camera.
So let's hear some of the more memorable tweets that you've had. What was on your website today? But while we're looking up for some of the tweets, talk about what some of your more memorable guests, like crazy moments, like maybe embarrassing or something that you didn't expect, or something that you thought was going to be good and turned out not good, or something like that.
Well, I have I had a young lady. She's a poet. She came on as a guest, and we all sat down. We're chirping. We're going through our chirps. Haven't interviewed her yet. This is about the very first, about 10 minutes into the show. And all of a sudden, during our chirps, we're going around, and she sat opposite of me. And I just know she looked down at her phone, and she looked up, and I had my friend Steve, who had brought her on. And, you know, she just started to tear. You know, tears started coming down her eyes. So obviously something's wrong. So I'm waving to her, like, just go. It's okay. So she did not want to just get up, you know, and just walk out. And I said, just go. And I'm waving to her, you know, just leave. And what had happened is that she just found out that her grandmother had passed away.
Oh, my God, that's
Can
terrible.
You believe that? Right on the I couldn't believe it.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, man, here I was thinking that you were going to tell me, like, some funny story about some great faux pas on the air. But, like, this is heartbreaking.
Yes, but that was an experience.
Oh, my God.
You know,
oh
like,
my
what
God.
Do you do? Your main guest just left. What do you do?
You have to fill the time somehow.
And how, you know, poor young lady, I mean, to find out.
That's awful.
About your grandma's death on
my show.
This is
like, why I shut your phone off if you're on so much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, but you
Very
know what?
Sad.
She probably knew that her grand was ill, so she probably had it on just for updates and stuff, because I would have done the same thing.
It was very sad, but you know what? 2 weeks after, she came back onto the show.
That's amazing.
We had a wonderful
That's
show.
Amazing. Okay, what was the most unexpected moment that you've had on the show in the past year? Okay.
The gong on the first 10-year anniversary. My
friend
Pascal coming
God.
In with a huge gong. That was hilarious.
A Buddhist gong.
I actually saw your eyes like, what the hell? That was very funny.
It was very surreal, Patrick.
Yeah, I did not expect that
whatsoever.
That
night was a surreal experience. You know what it was like?
Yeah.
It was like being, in a way, inside a live Monty Python cartoon. I was expecting feet or giant teeth to come out from the walls and the ceiling and the floor and like rainbows and What was that artist? I think it was Terry Gilliam that did those. Oh, no. Whoever did the crazy illustrations for Monty Python, I felt like I was in that world.
In that world.
It was a.
It was a really interesting night.
It was surreal. It was totally. And then the champagne just kept like.
Yeah, and people just coming in. And I was shocked.
Yes.
But it was all within support, which I felt good about. It just made me. Actually, I wanted to come to tears because. Something I had no clue about starting, and a year later, to have all these people come out to support, you know, something that I still don't know what I'm doing. And it was just a heartfelt moment at the time.
I can relate to not knowing what you're doing.
But that's the magic. I'm having fun, though.
Yeah.
I'm learning along the way. That's the beauty of the entire thing.
That's the point. If it's not fun, why the frig do it?
Of course.
Seriously. You know. And I totally can relate to learning along the way.
Absolutely.
Because when I started doing Fish Out of Agua, I'm a year and a half now. And when I first started doing it, I had no clue how to do a radio show. When I'm telling you I had no clue, I had no clue. And some people may be listening today and say, she still has no clue. But I don't care, because not knowing how to do something never prevented me from doing it.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to learn until you take the first
step.
And
you learn as you go.
You learn as you go. And you hopefully you improve.
Yeah, but, right.
But the thing that I want to say about Chirp about that whole experience on your show, is that my takeaway was that you built yourself a family there.
Yeah.
And I'd like seeing all those people around you. And it was funny. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Do we have any chirps that
well,
we...
Well, yeah, I can do. Would you like to read some of the chirps?
Levy in Canarsie. The hardest part of being a New Yorker is breaking the news to people that the L train is shutting down in 2019 and watching them process it. Oh, he's a spoiler. He likes to bear bad news.
Of course.
Shame on you.
What do we have here?
All right, this is another one. Okay, you read that one.
All right, just watched a guy kick trash onto the subway tracks when there's a trash can 5 feet behind him. What is wrong with people in this city?
What's wrong with people in any city?
This is by Trisha from in Uptown East.
This is why I like to stay home with my cats.
Well, there you go.
Clint in Midwood. How is there a sick passenger every single morning on the B train? Maybe because the B stands for barf?
That could be. That's the point.
Do you ever answer these people?
Sometimes. Well, you can reply.
Because you say maybe because the B stands for barf. Okay. Armando from the Bronx. MTA announcement. The trains are delayed, but the door is open so you all could get out. Every passenger says, and go where?
That's a good one. That has happened to me before
while
I'm on the train. Like, where am I supposed to go now? I mean, the train's out of order or what happened. I don't understand.
This is incredible. People, you know. So many about the subway. Okay,
yeah.
This is Julia from Murray Hill.
Okay.
At no other subway stop do so many people try to get on the subway before everyone is off. Number 6 train, 28th and Park. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn.
Is that where it's at all?
Oh my God, you can't get on?
Well,
you know what? Almost every stop. But no, the six is crowded. You know, any train, darling. You must not have been living in New York very long,
who
darling.
Knows? This is one by Bree from the South Bronx. And she says this. There's a special place in hell for people who think it's okay to yell into their phones that is on speakerphone while on public trains. My eyes are gone. I can't really see.
Yep.
That's by Bree, South Bronx. We have one from
Udalo.
Udalo.
My city, the Bronx, is trending. I don't know if I should be excited or worried about this. Depending on your neighborhood, yeah. I would say worried.
Well, you know, it's the gentrification.
Yes,
happening
so please don't even,
now,
Papi, do not get me started because that is for another show.
Oh boy, would you like to read this one?
Yeah, let's do one more. That's the one more.
Okay,
this is from Kazuya in Jackson Heights. Overheard on the, no wait, I gotta do two more because the next one is like near where I live. Overheard in the streets of New York. Please don't make me choose between beer and happiness. That's really not fair. And fair is spelled F-A-R-E.
Okay. Yeah. So what does that mean?
It means typo. But no, but that's profound, though.
Yeah.
Please don't make me choose between beer and happiness.
And happiness.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe he had a couple. That's why he spelled fair.
He typed it.
Right. Last tweet. This is from, I used to live in this neighborhood. This is Kevin from Windsor Terrace. There was a Kevin that was my neighbor when I lived there. Let's see.
Well, let's
okay.
See.
Kevin from Windsor Terrace. I'm going home to drink champagne and think about anything but my receding hairline. Thank God for Chirp About It. I can say and do this privately. Well, not anymore, Kevin. Uh-oh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Sorry.
Well,
he's posting this on the internet, so how could he think it's private?
Well, we just don't know. We don't know who he really is. We
That's
just
true.
Have to go
That's
search
true.
Kevin in Windsor Terrace.
We somewhere. Don't know if he's Kevin. We don't know if he's in Windsor Terrace.
That's a good point as well.
Yeah, yeah. Because,
so,
you know, that's the internet, the great arbiter of anonymity. Yeah.
All right. Well, it is what it is, Kevin.
Well, you know, you chirp. You chirp some, you lose some, you win some.
But now you get an idea of what people just chirp about.
It's fun. I mean, I just had like the best time for 5 minutes
these
things with you. So where can people find Chirp About It, both the website and the show?
Chirpaboutit.com. That's where you can find it. And the show is City World Radio, Tuesdays at 8 p.m.
Yep, okay.
Cityworldradio.com. And to chirp your New York moments, thoughts, or opinions, go on to...
And you have a call-in number?
Yes, it's 646-693-2976.
And there's a brand new show of Chirp About It on City World Radio every Tuesday
every
at 8
Tuesday,
p.m.
Every Tuesday, 8 p.m., for sure.
And you're on Facebook,
and Twitter, all under Chirp About It. Just type that in, and you'll find us.
That's
we'll
fantastic.
We're also on YouTube as well. We have some videos, small videos on YouTube. But, you know, again, it's the first year, you know, so we're really building. You know, we're really fine-tuning this little baby. So I'm excited.
I'm excited to see what you
anywhere.
Guys do
just,
next.
We're just getting started.
Fantastic.
You know, the team is growing. We just officially have eight people on the team.
That's great.
You know, for website, cameras, marketing, sponsorship sales coming as well. So
this is
lot.
This is how you build an empire.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, Patrick, I always ask this question at the end when we are concluding the interview. So it's been great having you on.
I had so much fun.
Well, you're supposed to. Like I said, if it's not fun, why do it?
Why do it?
But
I agree.
I asked this of everybody at the end of our time together. And if you could say something, anything, one thing, to a child who is making stuff at home,
mm-hmm.
wants to be something that they don't even know exists yet and is not getting support or is being pushed towards another path, but they want to create,
mm-hmm.
and they don't know how or where to begin, what would you say to that child?
Just jump. Whatever the idea is, whatever the thought may be, just jump. Meaning, just start, because you'll always learn as along the way. I'm a strong believer in that. And some people ask, what do you mean jump? Well, just jump. Do you have an idea? Do you want to be an artist? All right, well, just start painting. Just start drawing. Go to an art store. Start hanging out. You know, build a network. You know, you learn from people, or you pick up friends, or you pick up, you get to know people who share the same interests as you do or you have by starting. And then all of a sudden, this person knows someone who can probably help you with this. I mean, just start. That's my whole entire belief. Don't hold back. Just start, whatever it is.
So basically, leap and the net will appear.
That's right. That's right. Just jump into the fire. Jump into the fire. Jump into the water. You'll learn how to swim. You'll figure it out somehow.
Thank you, Patrick.
Oh, my pleasure.
For being on Fish Out of Agua.
Well, thank
Long
you.
May you chirp.
Oh, for sure. Thank
hug
you.
Hug in the air.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. Oh.
With a hug in the air.
Thank you. Thank Woo-hoo! You. It's been fun. It's been fun.
I don't wanna
And we're back with Fish Out of Agua on Radio Free Brooklyn. You just heard Bob Marley and the Wailers with Waiting in Vain from the 1984 Legend compilation. And that was preceded by some budgies chirping about it from more sound effects. I couldn't resist. I was looking for birds to put after that Patrick's whole segment because it's chirp about it, chirp about it, chirp about it. And then I found that little clip of parakeets, budgies, and I was like, ooh, perfect. Well, kids, we've had a lot of fun today, but you know what? That's our show. You have been listening to Fish Out of Agua on Radio Free Brooklyn. And if you like this show or any of the other fine shows on Radio Free Brooklyn, you know what you can do? You can sponsor us. Oh, it's so easy. Patreon can do it, or you could just go to the Radio Free Brooklyn website and look for the Donate tab. Click on it, go down, and do what it says. You'll feel good about yourself because you'll be supporting a living artist. Yes, supporting living artists is what we love. And okay, you know, it's not like you could do a tax write-off for this year. Can we do them for next year? I have no freaking clue. Who knows what's going to happen next year? Like, sometimes I was like, I don't even know what's going to happen in the next hour, except that I'm still going to be breathing. Well, on that bright note, we're going to close this show with the last of Patrick Sainville's picks for his episode. It's Sam Smith. The song is called Too Good for Goodbyes, and it's from his 2017 album called The Thrill of It All. Well, maybe Sam Smith is too good at goodbyes, but I'm not. I kind of hate to go. I'd love doing this show for you guys every week, but go we must. So, who else can we shout out here? Oh my God, there's so many great shows on Radio Free Brooklyn to listen to. Where do I begin? Well, I could start with the show before this one on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock. It's the amazing show Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel, Josh Rubin and Noel Dineen. And immediately following this show is Brooklyn Bandstand. And Radio Free Brooklyn is also presenting a live event this coming Thursday, April 5th, at The Well, which is at 272 Meserol Street in Bushwick. Or is it Bushburg? Or is it Williamwick? Anyway, Radio Free Brooklyn presents this Thursday, April 5th, with the bands Voreen, Streep Throat, and Even Twice, with Brooklyn Neighbor and Art Star and all-around cool guy Pat O'Shea. That's this Thursday, April 5th, at The Well, 272 Meserol Street. Tickets are $8 in advance, $10 at the door. So go out and play. It's spring. Maybe the snow will have melted by then. All right, kids, here's Sam Smith with Too Good for Goodbyes, and we'll see you next week. Woohoo!
You must think that I'm stupid. You must think that I'm a fool. You must think that I'm new to this, but I have seen this song before. I'm never gonna let you close to me, even though you mean the most to me, 'cause every time I open up it hurts. So I'm never gonna get too close to you, even when I mean the most to you, in case you go and leave me in the dirt. But every time you hurt me, the less that I cry. And every time you leave me, the quicker these tears dry. And every time you walk out, the less I love you. Baby, we don't stand a chance. It's sad, but it's true. I'm way too good at goodbye.
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 I know you're thinking I'm heartless. I know you're thinking I'm cold. I'm just protecting my innocence. I'm just protecting my soul. I'm never gonna let you close to me, even though you mean the most to me, 'cause every time I open up it hurts. So I'm never gonna get too close to you, even when I mean the most to you, in case you go and leave me in the dirt. But
time you walk out the list, I love you. Baby, we don't stand a chance. It's sad, but it's true. I'm way too good at goodbye. It's sad, but it's true. I'm way too good at goodbye.